Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1.
Now, you're very welcome back. Audrey Darby joins us. You're an occupational therapist.
I am.
Audrey, and you have special interest in equine-assisted occupational therapy. So therapy with horses, basically.
That's it, absolutely.
That come to help you. And you're going to talk about, you've been changing people's lives.
Well, I hope so. Yeah? I hope so, yeah. Yes.
You don't look at, but you've been an occupational therapist for 30 years this year?
30 years, yeah. Qualified way back in the 90s.
Multiple qualifications. Occupational therapy, can you tell us what that is again?
I suppose occupational therapy back in the 90s, I didn't have a clue what it was. Got into it by chance, very lucky. Occupational therapists you're looking at independence. So is that somebody who has been in a mental institution all their life and they need to learn how to learn and live in the community?
Yeah.
Or with people who have physical disabilities, helping them to survive. With children, we work and support them to develop and to grow and to reach their potential. So, you know, you can work across the spectrum, but it's all about helping people to engage with everyday life.
Really? And how do you end up incorporating horses into this therapy? Because obviously, what's the base, occupational therapy as a base kind of skill before?
Yeah, so first of all, you qualify as an OT. So that's my qualification. And what I do is I work with children in order to help them to develop. So if you think about children's development, you know, what do they do when they're born? The first thing they learn to do is you know, that they learn to lift their heads, and then they learn to sit, and then they learn to engage and to reach. So I support them along that developmental pathway. So when I meet a child with needs, I have a look and I see, what's the problem here? Where did they get stuck? How can I come in and support them to move on to the next stage of development? So that's really what my job is. But if you think about a horse, it's an incredible platform. Goodness gracious, you have a moving platform that you can put a child onto.
Yeah.
And that movement translates into the child and they respond to it. So you have this magical place that you can put your child in order to support them to learn to hold themselves in the very early stages to build their core development. And then when they build their core, then they can free their hands for movement and function. So it's kind of a cheat's way of working, actually.
How did you start dealing with horses and with your job?
It was by accident. So I was an OT and I went to a conference and I heard a physiotherapist talking about hippotherapy. Mm. I didn't even know what that was. So hippotherapy is basically, it's speech therapists, OTs and physios. And what they do is they use the horse as their therapeutic medium.
Okay.
And, you know, it has become very popular since kind of about the 1990s. So I kind of looked at her and she was talking about this lovely child with cerebral palsy and how the movement of the horse was normalising their tone, how it was reducing the high tone in their arms, it was increasing the strength in their core. And I was looking at it going, that's amazing, we can do that. And I was very fortunate. Now, where I worked at the time, there was an equine centre and there were horses available, and I was really well supported to start trying this out. And the results were phenomenal. The children were starting to engage. The children were starting to develop. They were starting to walk better. And that started me on a 15-year-long journey of learning, studying, engaging, building my practice right up to where I am today.
Which is Equisense.
Equisense, yes.
And what part of the country is that?
We're based in County Meath.
Yeah. Yeah. Lovely horsey part of the world.
It certainly is, out in the countryside, and it is. It's lovely. And basically we have occupational therapy and we have therapeutic riding. So people, and then family support services.
Okay.
So people can kind of pick and choose what they need at any one time. We work on a model where sometimes they'll come to me, work on a specific goal, and then they'll go to therapeutic riding for a while. And then they also then can engage in the family services.
Okay, so what issue do the kids have who come to you for assistance with their parents?
So I will deal with children with any disability. So I can see exactly where they are developmentally and help them to move forward. But I suppose naturally, so many children with autism can't access services out there. There are just way too many children for the amount of HSE services that are available. And the equine environment is just so powerful for these children that a lot of my caseload is children with autism.
It's children with autism.
Yes.
And the therapeutic effects of horses, we know this for a long time, don't we, in the medical profession. It is amazing. I'm only learning. Tell us about the kind of therapy or what horses do, you know, putting a kid on a horse. And there's a connection. It's an incredible connection, physical.
It is an incredible connection. It's on so many levels. So I suppose one of the things is, you know, horses and humans have been friends for thousands of years. They've been pulling ploughs for thousands of years. I mean, there's talk of them for, you know, 3,000 years BC. But I suppose one of the key issues with horses is that they are prey animals. So in the wild, they are alert. They live in herds. They depend on each other. They have a social community. They need social interaction. They need company.
So they're like us in that regard.
They are very like human. They need communication. They need they can communicate emotions, like a horse's ears will tell you exactly where they're at, the position of their head, the swish of their tail. Mm. They can communicate emotions, and they can equally read emotions in us. They have empathy. They are just, they thrive in open spaces, and they need relationships to be happy. And those things about them make them so engaged with people. They're interested in engaging. You will see a horse actually bend down to reach down and to look at a child and to be present with them. Mm. And that's an incredible quality. And of course, all horses have different personalities. Some are more interested in this than others. But when you find a horse that's interested in the therapeutic field, they will engage with the child.
Is that how the horse is chosen then?
Yes.
Because obviously training for them as well, isn't
it? Yes, there's a couple of things. So their personality is really important and what they like. And some horses love to be jumping fences of a metre high, and other horses like to be with people more and have a child with needs on their back, and they're happy out. And then, of course, there's the movement of the horse. The movement of the horse is key in a lot of things. So when the horse moves, it's one of three animals or three mammals that have a three-dimensional movement in their pelvis. So that's horses and people and pigs, actually, but we don't use pigs for therapy. So
poor pigs.
Yeah, poor pigs. They're not that interested in people, even though they're beneficial.
Oh, they have no interest in us. Okay, I get
it. So the movement is really important. So when you choose a horse for therapy, you know, you look at their movement. So, you know, that myth of you know, pick a retired horse doesn't always work, because like people, as we get older, our movement is less fluid. It's not as athletic. We really want top quality movement.
So actually ponies are better.
So ponies are good, you know, horses who've been trained. So then there's a whole field of people who train horses to a high level so that their movement is really positively affecting the people. That's not my area of expertise, but, you know, we need to you know, consider that in when we're choosing horses for therapy.
So if you have kind of if you've got the sensory processing difficulties, that feeling of the movement in the horse, it kind of matches our own the pelvis in our own bodies, isn't it? That's that's extraordinary kind of physical connection that's going on.
So it does a huge physical connection, but then that movement translates into our pelvis, that stimulates our vagal nerve, one of the cranial nerves, and then what that does, that's our feel good nerve, and it responds by reducing our blood pressure, and it actively reduces the amount of cortisol, that stress hormone that we all have too much of in our bodies. And then if you continue on, then it has that it gives that sense of well-being, and then our body starts to produce those anti-stress hormones, which is the dopamine and the endorphins and the serotonin, and they all start to be produced. So it's no wonder that riding is actually really addictive to those of us who engage with it. You know, once you get on and you feel that, it's very positive.
Tell me about the horse's heartbeat.
The horse's heartbeat, well, it's beautiful. As in, so there is a huge scientific body of evidence around the fact that horses help us to reduce our heartbeats. I mean, my own personal experience was that I was working with a child who was constantly in fight or flight. And so his heart was constantly racing, so much adrenaline, so much cortisol in his body. And we couldn't get through to actually help him to calm down and to relax. So we just put a heart monitor on him and put him in the presence of a horse. Now, he didn't engage with the horse, but the horse engaged with him. The horse was interested and was in his presence and was with him. And every single time that we did that, his heart rate just dropped. Wow. And that's my personal experience of it, but it is well documented. They have a fabulously relaxing effect on our body.
And they know our heartbeat, the horses.
They do. They do, and they connect to us through it. And so they read us through our heartbeat. You know, they know if we're stressed through our heartbeat.
Yeah. And they can match it as well?
They certainly can.
Horses are deadly.
They are.
In so many
different
ways.
They are. I'm very passionate about it.
You really are, yeah. Communication skills then with children who have these issues, they kind of open up and they become themselves, don't they, when with this equine treatment?
Yeah. So I suppose in autism, just, you know, there's two main things that you look at when you're looking at autism. So it's diagnosed on restrictive repetitive behaviours and on social communication difficulties. And people with autism, it's a spectrum. So some of them, you know, can have a little bit of those problems, some have a lot of those problems. So it varies in severity. But also then you have, it can have an associated intellectual disability, and they can have huge communication difficulties, so actually speaking. So there's a very broad range there. So I suppose the opportunities around horses for that is phenomenal. First of all, you get them on the horse and you regulate them, you calm them down. So sensory processing difficulty is like having a stone in your shoe. It's like, you know, and you know, if you've had a stone in your shoe and you can't get at it, oh, it drives you crazy. It distracts you. You can't give eye contact. You can't concentrate. You certainly couldn't do your job if you had a stone in your shoe and it was really annoying you. And that's what sensory processing difficulties is like. So when what we would do as OTs and what the horses support us with is to regulate. And when you regulate, that itch is gone. You feel calm, organised, ready to engage, ready to work with the world. So if you can do that, then people who have autism and have, you know, flapping and stimming behaviours, those are all about the agitation. Right. So if you get rid of the agitation, those behaviours start to calm down. And then if you calm them down, then they can start to actually see, oh, there's a person over there. Oh, they're saying something. Oh, maybe I'll speak back. So it's that communications piece starts to come in. So if you think the regulation is the key, it's the basis for everything on which you can build everything else.
And you have experience of, I suppose, do you call them clients? I don't know what you call the kids
clients,
who come to you.
Yeah.
You've seen them open up from the horse treatment.
100%. You know, I mean, I have millions of examples. Like, you know, one of my first children, you know, he had autism and was nonverbal, and his first word was go, to tell the horse to go. So, you know, I mean, that's beautiful because he was so
motivated.
No, but it's not about not speaking. They're so dysregulated, often they can't get the words out.
Yeah,
they're
they
in
have
there.
The words, yeah.
Yes, but so when we calmed him down, he was able to get it out. So it is, you know, and then we have also, you can work on, the muscle is a tongue. So if children are having problems with the coordination of their muscles, you know, you can actually support that coordination. And then when they get the coordination, they can actually produce speech, which is a very fine motor thing. So you can actually see that speech comes on. So the motivation is there to actually pat the horse to go, and then you say go, and then it all starts to blossom. That's the very start of it.
And we're going to go to someone on the phone who you know. Michelle Davern is on the line. Good morning to you, Michelle.
Good morning, Oliver. Good morning, Audrey.
You're a happy mammy, Michelle. Tell us who your little girl is.
I am indeed, yes. I have a daughter named Aubrey. She's 5 years old. She was diagnosed with autism age 3.
And that's only 2 years ago. And tell us about the challenges that she faced as a little girl.
Yeah, so I suppose we had the hindsight of having an older daughter. So we'd gone through all the milestones of parenting just 2 years before Aubrey was born. And so we noticed with Aubrey, she wasn't engaging with us as we would have expected, wasn't responding to her name, using kind of echolalia, which is the use of repeated phrases that she heard often, having kind of regular meltdowns due to a lot of overwhelm and challenges with demands in her daily routine, and like frequent night waking. So they were the sort of things that alerted us to, you know, look into further what might be happening with Aubrey.
Yeah, and she had sensory difficulties as well. I think hair brushing was a real challenge.
Yeah, hair brushing was a really, really big challenge. We had to, she couldn't tolerate anyone touching her hair at all. And we had to brush her hair while she slept, just to maintain basic hair care. That was a really big challenge for us before we started therapy. Yeah.
And tell me, she loved art because her big sister was good at art, and she would sit down, wouldn't she, Aubrey, with her sister?
Yeah, her big sister has a major passion for drawing. So often in this house, there's paper all over the kitchen table and markers and crayons, and madhouse.
That's a happy scene, though, your painting.
Yeah, it is. It's always great to see them do that. That's always a big afternoon activity here. So Aubrey would have sat down with her sister Robin, and oftentimes she'd just scribble on the page and push it away. And we noticed after she started therapy with Audrey and Sue in Equisense, within a few weeks, she actually started to replicate and draw really, really finely, like really precise drawings. She was able to recreate her favourite character from the Wally movie, like to a very, very high and unexpected level. It was quite shocking, actually. So we didn't realise that she had that focus in her, and it was just really surprising.
And that's after her dealings with horses. How did you hear about equine therapy in the first place, Michelle?
Yeah, so I suppose when Aubrey was diagnosed, we were sort of looking for a community, and we went to social media to find other parents of autistic children, and we noticed that a lot of people were talking about equine therapy. So we did some research. We found Equisense, which is where Aubrey attends a weekly session with her therapeutic riding coach. Her program was developed by Audrey, so she had an assessment before she started her sessions, and the program that she does there is an individualized program, so it's specific to her needs and to her body, and helps her with the challenges she faces. So
very, very happy. And that's Audrey is here with us as well, Michelle.
Yes,
Audrey knows
Hi,
Aubrey.
She does.
I
mean, the results are incredible. By the way, Michelle, can you tell us what happens when Aubrey goes to Ratoath, and what exactly happens in terms of getting up on the pony and what she goes through?
Yeah, so at the start of the session, she goes to meet her therapeutic riding coach and her pony. She works with Shadow at the moment a lot. He was a great friend of Aubrey's, and there's a range of program assistants there as well, often young people who do wonderful work behind the scenes. So she'll lead her pony to the block, and she'll usually do her mounted session first, after popping on her safety equipment, her riding hat and safety belt. The session usually begins with some gentle kind of walking, followed by some games in the field. So to us, observing, and to Aubrey, it's fun and games, but there's obviously, you know, there's therapeutic input going on behind the scenes.
She's developing new skills, isn't she?
She absolutely is.
She's developing skills and communicating with her therapeutic riding coach. The therapeutic coach is actually walking side by side with her, and somebody else is leading. So she has the full attention and full input of the riding coach. So she's collecting items of interest out in the field, and they're laid out strategically to promote different movements. After the mounted session, they'll return to the arena. She might lay across the pony, do some more fine turns and movement. Again, that's individually designed. She'll dismount, lead her pony back to the stables, where she'll engage in some groundwork as well, which she really enjoys, and some bonding time with Shadow. So it's really, really nice.
I mean, that's a lovely result. Audrey's you're smiling here.
It's lovely to hear it from a parent's point of view. There's a lot of hard work goes into it, but it is beautiful.
Absolutely.
It's really beautiful. The children get to engage with ponies, you know, and relate to them. And we also get them to do hard work. You know, she goes back into the stable and she'll do some mucking out, or she'll carry water buckets or whatever. So we're looking to give the sensory input.
Yeah.
But she just thinks she's helping Shadow. So it's, you know, we're...
And that releases all those endorphins and everything from
absolutely
from mucking out in the stables.
Yes, huge opportunities for proprioceptive input.
You mentioned that the art has come out on her now. Have there been other improvements in her life?
Yeah, some pretty major improvements. Like when we started when we started the sessions, my expectations weren't super high. I kind of thought, look, if we get out in the fresh air once a week and we have a hobby, it would be wonderful. But we've been astounded by some of the benefits that we've seen. So we had engaged in speech and language therapy, and she had come on, with acquiring new words. But when she was dysregulated, she wouldn't use those words. She would melt down and just refused to sort of communicate with us. And it was quite distressing for her and quite distressing for, you know, for the family and anyone trying to support her, her teachers at school. So her communication, she is now communicating more verbally with us around her needs, and also non-verbally, like she will also now remove herself from situations and direct her own needs. So that's one there. The other one, it would be, I suppose, the ability to focus. So we've had reports from her lovely Montessori teacher, Andrea, about her, you know, focus on learning at Montessori. So there's been an improvement there, that she's engaging more with her peers and engaging more with her teachers. And also, the drawing, the drawing at home. And
I hope it's lovely and competitive between Aubrey now and Robin, the two sisters.
And it's
well,
lovely.
They are, yeah. Robin loves to ride too. So she's, they both share that hobby too. So it's brilliant. It's kind of been a lovely activity that the family can engage in. We've enjoyed days out at the National Stud and the Dublin Horse Show.
Yes, and you're going to the Dublin Horse Show this year.
Yes, absolutely. It's definitely in our calendar. So
I might even see you there, because you do work with Festina Lente, don't you, which is their equine treatment down in Bray.
Yes, so I would have linked with them for a long, long time. I'm exceptionally passionate about equine assisted services, and it's just blossoming in Ireland at the moment. Yeah. And as you can hear, like Michelle's speaking beautifully about the benefits.
Incredible results.
And Festina Lente is a great facility. I suppose they're the forerunners in Ireland. They're very organised. They have equine assisted learning. They have therapeutic riding. They have their miniatures that they bring out, connecting with children in schools and in nursing homes, their miniature ponies. Mm. They have, you know, work placements where people learn work skills to go on for employment. But they also then they have the education of all of these people who are working in equine services in Ireland. So they would provide education for equine professionals who want to become experts in therapeutic riding or in equine assisted learning. And I mean, of the last 12 to 14 years, there's probably 300 or 400 people out there qualified by them practicing. Right. And I suppose that leads me on to my other area of passion, which is the fact that they're all out there, but we kind of don't know where they are. So it is hard to access them. So we badly need a register, you know.
And what we're talking about this morning as well, it is, this is all private care as well, isn't it?
At the moment, it's not coming from the HSE. Now, parents can get a lot back from their private health insurance, but you know, we will help anybody who's in need, but we would love to put together
some
help, a register.
Some insurance does cover
up to 75% for occupational therapy.
If you don't have cover, is it very expensive?
It's expensive. Occupational therapy is about 120 to 140 euros per session.
Is it okay?
Yeah.
But you obviously want to see this move to a non-profit area, don't you?
100%. I would like it, you know, ideally to be accessible to people off HSE waiting lists. You know.
Well, Audrey Darby, thank you so much and good luck to you with everything you do in EquiSense. And thank you so much, Michelle Davern. I might see you at the horse show.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks very much.
Enjoy. I hope you're mucking out as well.
Can I just
absolutely.
Can I just tell people a little bit about where they can find us at the horse show?
Yeah, very, very quickly.
So,
yeah.
You know, there's dublinhorseshow.com. They can find out all the information. I will be at the horse show on Friday at 11:30, Saturday at 1:30, Sunday at 4:00, and we'll be outside in the rings 1 and 2. I'll be working alongside Festina Lente, who are pioneering the positive strides part of the horse show. So there's the showmanship, the horsemanship, there's the welfare people, and then we're doing the positive strides, which is about that horse human connection and how people can be helped by horses.
All at the RDS, 14th to the 18th of August. Mark your calendar 100%. Now. Thank you both so much, Audrey and Michelle. Good luck. We'll have to take a quick break.
Email oliver@rte.ie.